Last week we talked about disappointed faith and how it was an enemy's plan to discourage you and how it was the design of the enemy to keep you contained through these disappointments and hurts and losses and keep you focused on those so that you don't ever understand the overcomer that's within you, so that you don't ever understand the place of dominion that's been given and granted unto you. And so there is part of that process, then we began to talk about the hope that comes from God that changes that. The hope that comes from God that results in us being able to choose, instead of the tree of knowledge, the tree of life. That because of this hope that comes from God, because this hope that's already gone beyond the veil and is an anchor for our soul, that we can go forth. When we choose of the tree of life, when we choose to grab a hold of that godly hope, and that itself becomes the foundation for our faith. So that should catch us up a little bit from last week. But see, there's always tests that come against our faith. And Romans 5:5 tells us that hope does not disappoint. But how can we know that? We know it by the Word of God. Both the Rhema and the Logos. See, there's an example there in Matthew 10 and 30. It says, the very hairs of your head are numbered. With some of us, those are getting easier to do. But the very hairs of your head are numbered. And that's not just a statement about God's omnipotence. It's a statement about how much He cares about you. How much He designed His love for you. You know, all this week I've been busy with putting up screens and projectors and all these other little tasks that had to be done or needed to be done. And when I get in that mode of getting certain things accomplished, I get very focused and one-track minded. I want to get it and get it over with. Move, 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 move. And I get very tunnel visioned about that. When I'm in a process and working on a project. And sometimes I find it hard to shift out of that gear. Because see, that's not the gear that allows the wealth of God in me to come forth. And so last night as I was seeking, what, Lord, is it that you want to speak about? And as I was pondering these things, because all day I would puttered with this and puttered with that, but never quite shifted out of that other gear. But I never could quite get into where God was wanting me to go. I knew there was something He wanted to say, something He wanted to bring. And as I began seeking Him, then He began to say and speak to me. And I'm just going to read it. My thoughts towards you have not ceased. You see, I am with you even when you are not aware. Your walk in faith will be much increased as you stay focused on me. There is a way to remain in fellowship with me even in the midst of what you do. Others have found it. You too can find it. There's a place with Him. Like Brother Lawrence found, or who was Smith Wigglesworth found, where you're so focused in on Christ that you don't go but just a few minutes without acknowledging Him. And see, and it's out of that place that the power of God, the imminence of God, begins to transform the atmosphere around you. Others have found it, you can too. Seek to let your heart whisper to me continually. By that he means let there be an ongoing conversation in your heart with him. You don't have to speak it out of your mouth, but you can allow it to come forth from within and bubble forth within your heart, within your discussion with Him. There's a place in your heart that this can happen, and it transforms your thought process. It transforms your reality. Because, see, at this place, as you begin to focus on Him and allow Him to be a partaker with you throughout your day, then He comes alive and He begins to be the focus of your, instead of the circumstance becoming your focus. See, when you begin to walk in that fellowship with Him, you begin to see the differences, and you begin to see how few people actually do that. I've sampled this. I've done it from time to time. I've just not learned yet how to stay in it when I'm fully blown into a project like I was this last week. I remember going to a lunch with this dear lady and some friends, and she was trying to speak to me and talk to me, and I just slipped off in the spirit. I was having a conversation, and all of a sudden I just slipped off in the spirit, and I was totally unaware of what happened at the table. Unfortunately, she was asking me a question, and I had no idea. Because there's a place where it gets so natural to live in that place that there's not a big line of difference between one or the other, because you can shift into it quickly. Do not attempt to shelter any thought, but rather acknowledge my closeness, the imminence of my presence. Do this both for the thoughts that are based in my righteousness and for the thoughts that are not. Do not receive guilt and condemnation for the latter, but realize my blood is enough when you will acknowledge your sin before me. He's not surprised or embarrassed by whatever thought you might have. He's already knowing it before you had it. What He's looking for is for us to come forward with Him in honesty and in supplication. What He's looking for us to do is to just acknowledge that, hey, this thing is occurring, and I see it for what it is, and this is sin, and I'm giving it to you. I'm counting on your blood and your mercy, because I've learned that that's the only thing that I have to offer, the only thing that I can do. I am delighted when you allow me access into your innermost being, when you will acknowledge me with your daily thought and activity. Relationship is never about works, but rather the extension of trust. Will you trust me with who you are? Will you trust me with the good and the bad? You know, we just had our 30th anniversary, and on that day, I said something about the fact that Kim knows everything there is to know about me. Every ugly, dark, nasty thing that I ever did, I've talked to her about. And she loves me anyway. There's something that's tremendously freeing to be loved by someone when they know all there is to know about you. There's a tremendous freedom in that. At one point, I had the opportunity to go and have an encounter with God. And as I arrived in this place, there was a great crowd of witnesses. And I just knew as I walked through this people that they all knew everything about me. Everything that I'd ever done. They could see it. They knew it. And yet, in spite of that, they were encouraging me, they were loving me, and they were pulling me forward. At first, when I detected that they knew everything about me, I just wanted to crouch down and lie down in a little ball and pretend like I didn't exist. Because that's the shame that the world system tries to put on us. then I began to realize I don't have to do that here. Because they are engaging me and loving me. And this is the way heaven is. This is the way the kingdom is constructed. For us to begin to learn about the kingdom and begin to see things from the kingdom perspective, this is what it's about. Will you let me have access even to the mundane things so that I can bring order, peace, and hope? Order, because this is the nature of seeking first the kingdom of God. Peace, because it is the hallmark of my presence in your life. Hope, because it is the foundation of your faith. The signpost for the vision I wish to manifest in your life. Time is running out. The time to begin acknowledging me in all your ways is now. The erosion of faith imposed by circumstance and position can be stopped and reversed by a continuous yielding to this place with me. See, there's many times that our faith is eroded by the things that we find ourselves in. When we're in an uncomfortable situation, we're in a place where you're being repressed, or when you're in a position that you can't do anything about at the moment. There can be an erosion of your faith because of that. When you're in lack and need, there can be an erosion of your faith because of those things. But see, that doesn't have to remain, and that doesn't have to be the thing that dictates who you are. It doesn't have to be the thing that dictates what you will become or what will happen in the future. God can change your circumstance in a day, in a moment. He can change all there is to or that surrounds you in a twinkling of an eye. Our faith has to be such that we allow him that opportunity to do so. Acknowledge me, for I desire to be with you. Trust me, for I have already placed my trust in you. Be real in your excitements, in your victories, your hurts, and your disappointments. For I wish to be the compass in everything you do. The expansion of the kingdom comes one thought at a time. Allow me to make the most of your thoughts. The world system, the devil, he wants to control your thoughts. He wants to keep you focused on the things that don't produce fruit, or any fruit that it does produce, it's all bad. He wants to keep you on the things that will wind up in hurt and disappointment so that he can keep his thumb straight on top of you. But God has a different focus for your thought. He has a different focus for your love, for you to be and understand this love that's within him. For you to begin to understand the possibilities that exist and surround you. For you to be able to step forth and take advantage of the opportunities, because he awakens you to see them. So allow me to make the most of your thoughts, for I will continue to set a new order, a new vision, and new possibilities within you. Do not shrink back, but engage the thoughts and plans that I have for you. And we have to take a responsibility. And that responsibility is to not shrink back from what God is showing us. Because when... You know, many times as a pastor, one of the things that you hear is, I don't know how to hear God. And usually the first thing they come and say after they learn how to hear God is, oh my God, do you know what God said? And that's so far beyond anything that I can imagine they ever doing. But see, God has a vision and a hope for you. And that vision and hope for you, He wants to speak into your life. And He's the one who will bring it forth. Because you don't have to worry about it. All you have to worry about is walking in obedience and allow Him to bring it forth. See, the reason that we shrink back is because we still think that it depends upon us. When we correct the error of that thought and realize it depends upon Him, our part is simply to walk in obedience. Then it's no longer an obligation. It's no longer a heavy weight and a responsibility, but it becomes a joy. Then He closes it simply by saying, I love you. See, that's His signature. That's a personal signature that He does with me, but it's also His signature. His testimony that He has for each one of us. There's a place where, because we're becoming so familiar with Him and His love and this relationship that we have with Him, that we can learn all about this communication. I'd like for you to turn to Psalm 131. Because see, this psalm is... I'm not going to have time to do everything I wanted to do today. But the psalm is amazing. And it goes right along with these thoughts. Verse 1. Psalm 131. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou dost know when I sit down and when I rise up. He knows about your every movement. Everywhere that you go, everywhere that you are. Thou dost understand my thought from afar. See, that's not just because He's some distant God. No, what He's talking about is He understands your thought long before you begin to think it. Long before you began to even perceive it, He already knew it on your behalf. Thou dost scrutinize my path and my lying down and art intimately acquainted with all my ways. Isn't that a testimony? Thou hast enclosed me behind and before and laid thy hand upon me. Psalm 139. 139, verse, and then I said verse 1. We're not in the same place? Did I say it wrong? Well, they're both got sticks. Okay. I guess I will be forgiven. Going down to verse 5 in Psalm 139. Thou hast enclosed me behind and before and laid thy hand upon me. You know, Nehemiah, this is one of my confessions. Nehemiah 2:8 says, the king granted me according to the good hand of God that is upon me. The king granted to me according to the good hand of God that is upon me. You realize that Cyrus sent Nehemiah out when he wasn't even a godly king. But he sent him to bring forth the walls and rebuild the tabernacle. Because God chose to use him. God can use anyone in our life for our good and our benefit and for the benefit of the kingdom. I'm going to skip down to verse 7 because this goes to show just how omnipresent He is. Where can I go from thy spirit? Where can I flee from thy presence? If I ascend to the heavens, thou art there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, thou art there. He goes on to say that dark is as not the darkness is as of the light to God. You know, that was good news for me, because at one point in my life I was afraid of the dark, and then I read that scripture and I would go, it's all the same to you, and it's all the same to me. Verse 13, for thou didst form my inward parts and weave me in my mother's womb. Verse 16, thine eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in thy book they were all written, the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there had not been one of them. Before you ever came on the scene, he'd already planned out your days. He'd already breathed life over them. He'd already quickened you with his life. Even before you began to take your first breath, even before you joined your first molecules together. How precious are also thy thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. What if I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I'm still with thee. When we begin to see the immenseness of who he is, the delicate intimacy that he has and desires with us, then we can begin to understand that all the thoughts that he has for us, and begin to cherish these things. Begin to cherish those things and honor them, because in that place of cherishing and honoring is a place of recognition of the love that he has and of his desire to be a fulfillment for us. To know that he's still with us regardless of anything else that we've done. And it finishes, the psalmist here, David, finishes in verse 23 with, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. Now see, he's already recognized that God knows everything about him. So why is he asking him to search him? Because it's an invitation that so that, because oftentimes we don't know the things that are in our heart. We don't know the depth of our heart. And it's an invitation to God, from David to God, to say, search me and make me aware of what's in my heart. Search me that I've become aware of who this is and the testimony that is within me. It's not a matter of showing it to God, because God already knows it. And David's saying, help me to recognize what's within me, that I might be pure to walk in your way. Hallelujah. Yes. Lead me in thy everlasting way. And see, because all we get into all this, because we're learning about getting answered prayer. And the more aware that we become of his intimacy, the more aware we become of his desire to know us, the greater our reliance can be upon what he's done. An example from Jesus' life is in John 11, 41 and 2, where he's about to raise Lazarus up. And he's standing there and he prays this prayer. And it's interesting what he says, because I believe this is the key. Knowing that he hears us is the key. Knowing that he has already understood our thoughts even before they came, it's a key to getting our prayer answered. Jesus' example says, John 11, verse 41, says, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. He hadn't said anything yet. Thou hast heard me, past tense. He has yet to say anything. He's already said it in his heart. He already knows in his heart what's going to happen. He's already uttered the prayer within his heart. He's whispered it to God. Thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. He uttered it out loud, not because it was necessary between him and God and him and the Father, but because it was necessary for the people. God had already heard the cry of his heart and already answered, and he knew that he held the key within him. The manifestation was waiting to be released when he says, Lazarus, come forth. There was a manifestation waiting to be released in that moment. Guys, it was already alive within Jesus. It's not a matter of how lengthy or how eloquent our prayers are. It's not a matter of how many people hear it. I was pleased this week that a young lady shared a problem with me, and I told her that I would pray, and as soon as I hung up the phone, I just said, Lord, you know, you see this situation, and Lord, you know everything that's right and everything what's called and what's necessary. And I just added a few little words to it, and I sent it forth. And I never spoke, I don't think I even spoke anything out loud. I just left it in my spirit and raised it up to him. And the very next day, God answered that prayer. The very next day, she was calling and saying, testimony! So I don't know what you said, but here it is. So it's awesome to see God work, because he is going to answer those cries of our heart. Remember what he said out of my notebook is, whisper to me in your heart. Be aware. Jesus knew that he was heard even before he uttered a word. The more that we know him, the more evidence we can receive concerning his goodness and his desire for our life. The more that we are aware of this fellowship that we have with Christ, the more we can receive from him. Not because he's waiting for us to push some magic button, but because what we're doing in the process of becoming aware of him is erasing our own gate issues. See, it's the programming of our mind that keeps us from accepting the goodness of God. It's the programming of our life situations that keeps us from seeing the purpose that we have in this life. I don't think anyone ever, as they were growing up, you know, when you're 4, 5, 6, 10, you're saying, I want to be a policeman, I want to be a fireman, or what? An astronaut. Yeah, that was the one. That was definitely one. I want to do all those things, but no one ever says, I want to be a drug addict. No one says, I want to be a junkie under a bridge. But it's the programming within our heart. What do we allow within our heart? What do we allow our thoughts to focus on? What do we allow ourselves to habitate around? When we begin to habitate around the goodness of God, when we begin to habitate around the fullness of his word, when we begin to let that habitation of God bring forth that transformation within us, when we begin to call out on his mercy and his grace, realizing that we're insufficient in our own strength, but with him we are more than enough and more than a conqueror. There are many situations that we get into that are difficult, painful. But God doesn't intend for us to stay there. He doesn't intend for us to wallow in that. He intends for us to take dominion and change it. And sometimes that's hard. And sometimes hearing that is hard because you look at it and say, there's nothing I can do. But in reality, that's never the case. God has set aside something you can do. As you begin to honor Him, as you begin to lift Him up, as you begin to love upon Him and acknowledge Him, then He can make the changes in your life. He can surround changes in the order of things that are around you. It's about taking advantage of the opportunity as we learn who He is. I had the opportunity to go fishing the other day, and we had a blast. Caught a bunch of fish, but I'll tell you what, I missed the one. I've got a platician out there for a 6-pound bass, and I missed him. I know he was there, though. I got evidence that he was there because as I was reeling back in and I was kind of talking, I wasn't paying attention. All of a sudden, this thing, bam, it hit my line so hard. I mean, literally jerked the pole. I had to grab it with my other hand to keep the pole from just falling in because he hit it so hard, but I didn't get the hook set in that process because I was just trying to retain the pole. Where was I going with this? Because you made the petition. We know God honors the petitions we make for Him, but we got to take advantage of the opportunities. We got to be able to ready and set the hook when the opportunity is there. We can't be asleep and talking. We got to be ready to go when God presents an opportunity. So we set the hook on it and drag it in. There, that's a good finish. Hallelujah. 1 John 5:14-15, it says, this is the confidence we have in Him. We ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And we know that He hears us whatsoever we ask. We know we have the petitions we have desired of Him. See, we're not limited to dealing with our circumstance or our sin in our own strength. We have every right to ascend in the righteousness of God and deal with it from a place of dominion. See, our defeat comes when we try to deal with it on a one-to-one basis. But when we come into the place of ascension, when we come into the place that we're seated with Christ, when we come into the place of knowing that we have heaven within us, that the heaven and the kingdom of God is within us, then we're no longer dealing with just, it's Chuck versus the Satan, it's the Chuck versus this devil. It's not just limited to that, but now it's the hammer of God that comes upon it. That's what we need to recognize. That's what we need to realize, that God has in this place. He's already instilled you. He's teaching you and He's training you in the ways and the weapons of warfare. He's teaching your hands to fight and your fingers to war. He's teaching you to how to recognize who He is and how to recognize the dominion that God has already placed within Him. And that comes from understanding this place of fellowship that we draw near to Him with. Amen. Amen. Amen.